It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 552. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have a jam-packed show again tonight. I want to talk about the disappointing Amazon Prime Day, Office 2016 for the Mac. I got audio stories with different receivers that I'm going to be in, that I'm have installed and going to install with different high-end theater systems and sound systems for some homes. I'm going to talk about different sound bars, so we got a little sound section in tonight's show. I also have a stack of email that is tremendous, following up on a lot of topics from the last couple weeks and some new questions, so I can't wait to get started. Instant House Call is the best remote software that you can deploy for remote controlling your client system, your work systems. Maybe it's supporting family. The software just flat out works. You have unattended mode. You have auto repair features. There's too many features to even cover in one segment here. But you can try it free for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com or clicking on the link on the left-hand side of my website. Download the 15-day trial, but remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow, and you can kick the tires and play and try it out. You will be back to subscribe to the service. I can't live without it. I use it every single day for my consulting and could not run my business without it. You have to have a solid remote support solution if you're in this business, and Instant House Call is the answer. Give it a try. Quickly want to mention, next Thursday, there'll be no live show. Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to get a chance to do the show on Tuesday night or not. It all depends on how some things work out with some clients. It's unlikely. I'm going to try. Next Thursday night, I'm going to be with my sons at the Upper Darby Tower Theater watching Shinedown. So looking forward to that. We've had the tickets now for a while. Can't wait to be with Ryan and Tyler. Going to enjoy Shinedown. I've seen them twice already in concert. Once, one acoustic and then one regular, as they were part of the Sound of Madness tour or Summer of Madness tour, something like that, a couple years ago. Can't wait. Going to be a lot of fun, and I'll report back after that. So no show next week. I'll be back the following Thursday, which will be the last Thursday before I travel to CompTIA in Chicago. So remember, that's coming up. For August 2nd, we have the podcaster meetup on Sunday at the Hilton Hotel, where the event's being held for the ChannelCon, CompTIA ChannelCon. And remember, you can still get passes that are being provided generously by Instant House Call. The link's on my website. Don't forget to watch Jetpack live online, real IT business online. You will learn a lot. It's 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The link for signing up, they're in my show notes, so check that out. You will come away learning something. Had a client call me in a panic. Their iPhone was hacked. their iPad. They were surfing somewheres in Safari on their iPad, and there's a hack that comes up that it takes over your browser, and it has an 800 number telling you that your iPad has crashed. Call the 800 number. It's a scam. Don't call the 800 number, and it's very easy to fix. If you know anyone that has an Apple device and it's their browser's being taken over, you can clear that. The first thing you do, go to settings. Go up to the top and put on airplane mode. So the first thing you do is make sure you're disconnected from the network. Once you're on airplane mode, scroll down to where you find the settings for Safari. Click Safari. At the bottom, on the right-hand side, you have clear history and website data. Click that. Then it'll come up clear or cancel. Click clear. Once you've done that, turn off airplane mode. So you turned on airplane mode and that shuts your networking down. Turn it off. Then go into Safari. You're fixed. All you got to do, clear the data and cache and history from Safari. But before you do that, put your device in airplane mode. In 60 seconds, you will have this fixed. And you don't have to call that 800 number. Now you have the fix if any of your clients or friends or family gets hit with that. Next, I was so disappointed. You know I love Amazon. I have my link, amazon.mikenation.net. I think Amazon Prime is one of the greatest services ever developed from a company. I love getting my products in 2 days, 1 day, sometimes same day. The customer service for Amazon is unequaled. I've never had a problem. So now this huge company, Amazon, creates Amazon Prime Day, which is July 15th, Wednesday, yesterday. So I was very excited about that. A Black Friday designed by Amazon just for Amazon Prime users? What a great idea. They created their own Black Friday Day. That's awesome. I couldn't wait. And then found almost nothing of interest. It was horrible. And that seems to be the consensus from thousands and thousands of users of the service. I was so disappointed. And then anything I was even just barely interested in was claimed in seconds. I don't understand why they created such a frenzy to where even the brick and mortar stores were worried about it and started saying, we're going to compete with that. We're going to have good prices. I did buy one item, which I'm going to incorporate into the show, and it's a Tascam recorder. It's a very nice portable device that I want to replace my MacBook Pro instead of my MacBook Pro recording. I really am going to put this in place. I forget the model of what I ordered, but even that, when I was ready to buy it, it was 100% claimed. I'm like, but I stuck with it. I was very patient. And I kept refreshing, and put myself on the list. I got lucky. Someone must have had it in their cart and it expired, because for just a split second, it enabled me to add it to my cart. I quickly added it to the cart and there was like a countdown. I had like 60 seconds to buy it. I purchased it and I'm going to be receiving it tomorrow. Hopefully I will squeeze some time to do this over the weekend and play with it, but I am like book solid. As a matter of fact, there's a good chance I'm not even going to be able to edit this show until late Saturday night or late Sunday night. Have a doctor's office that their ThinkCenter desktop crashed, and last Saturday I was at their site, and it was borderline whether it was still in warranty or not. Wouldn't you know? The ThinkCenter warranty check was maintenance all weekend, so it wasn't up till Monday morning. So first thing Monday morning, I quickly checked with their serial number, and it was out of warranty. And out of warranty about 5 months. I tested the power supply. Power supply works. There was definitely something wrong with the motherboard. We're not going to make any investment in replacing the motherboard. We're just getting a brand new computer. I already ordered it, have it, picked it up from my distributor today. Nice Dell OptiPlex 7020. But here's the catch. I have to go in on Sunday and set this up. I have to take the hard drive, which I know is working, out of the ThinkCenter. I'll use Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro to transfer the data from that drive, my device that I'll hook up the drive via USB 3 connection on the new machine, and then load up all their software and just do it. That'll take up most of my afternoon, and that's Sunday for me. It depends. I'm tied up tomorrow night. My wife bought me for Father's Day tickets to see Howie Mandel at the Borgata in Atlantic City. So I'm going to be down there tomorrow night seeing that. So that's why I have no time to edit the show tomorrow. And then Saturday when I get back, just so busy. Even tonight, the reason why I'm starting early tonight, the show, I have a couple clients I got to call and still work with tonight. And then again tomorrow morning. So it's a good thing being busy. What have I been working on? First, a lot of audio that I'm going to be doing or have been working on. The home theater system that I installed for one of my clients, who's the CEO of one of my retainer clients, I installed the Marantz SR7009. Great receiver with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, excellent. Working beautiful. So when it came time to come up with a receiver for his kitchen, where all of the speakers, there's two speakers in the kitchen, in the main living room, in the bedroom, and then another room, already pre-wired in the house. You have four sets of speakers with all that speaker wire coming into an old Nile speaker switch, which then feeds a very old Sony receiver that's way, way, way outdated. I had my client buy the Marantz NR1605. It's slimline, nice. Now, I sent him my Amazon link. As normally, I send the Amazon link to a client. You know, I build the link with my building code, so I'll get credit. And they usually buy it. Sometimes they want me to buy it. If that's the case, not a problem. Normally, I send the link and he buys it. But for some reason, he decides he wants to buy this from Best Buy. So he doesn't buy it from Amazon, and Best Buy loses his order. He goes online, goes out of his way to buy it from Best Buy, because I think he wants the points for Best Buy. They lose it, and I'm supposed to be there last Friday night to install it. So we find this out on Thursday that he's not going to get it. So I said, we can always reschedule. No. I want this done Friday night. And I got my son, Michael Jr., helping me there because we got to lift out all this old equipment. And So we look to see who has it in stock at Best Buy. We find one. So last Thursday, before the show, before I was recording the Mike Tech Show, I found one in stock, emailed him where it was. It wasn't that far. Matter of fact, it was in King of Prussia, outside Philadelphia, so not far away. He goes and gets it. Now, what I don't know at the time was this box had been opened. You can absolutely tell the tape that's all around it and everything. This is not original tape. This has been repurposed. And even as I opened the unit, it looks fairly good, but you could tell when power cords are not in sealed plastic. You know that this unit has been worked on. Doesn't mean it's bad, but we know it's not brand new. We know this the minute I open it. But we go through hooking it up. What a nightmare. We first let it go through all the updates. Once we get it, we get it in place. And let me tell you, getting it in place is a long, long story. It was painful. It was horrible. It took a couple hours. We finally get this thing all connected up and the speakers all wired properly. We had a new Niles speaker switch box that had to be redone. So I got my high precision screwdriver dealing with all of the speaker wires that did not have banana clips. Lesson learned. Put the banana clips on one there and it makes it so much easier to work with. Once I get this all done, we cannot get any sound out of the speakers. We can't get anything hooked up. Matter of fact, setup's not even working properly. We don't even see it passing through the HDMI onto the TV that's there, because that's how you have to respond to all the questions. You have to have video in order to answer all the prompts when you're setting up one of these receivers. So I eventually call tech support, and everything that he has me trying, he says, that unit's defective. You got to take it back. I just knew it. So now my client's just outraged with Best Buy, and now I'm going to let him deal with it. Let's fast forward real quick to Saturday, where he's in Best Buy, but I miss his voicemail. And the voicemail is, I have this Denon receiver that they're recommending that I'm going to get, but it's off the shelf. And I'm listening to this voicemail saying, no, this ain't happening. I want new. Well, Tuesday night, I'm back. I'm hooking this up, and everything works flawlessly. But as I look at the link on Amazon, it says discontinued by manufacturer. It kind of makes me nervous. This is the Denon AVR X2 1000W. The Denon almost identically looks like the Marantz, and I think they're owned by the same company. There's a lot of similarities between Marantz and Denon. I'm worried because it's an older model. It's discontinued. And I would have much rather had the Marantz, you know, NR1605. I'd much rather have that. So now I have another client that the Marantz NR1605 is actually sitting in a box brand new from Amazon waiting for me to install on Wednesday. And it's almost the identical setup. This house also has multiple speakers run going. It's not a Nile switch, a monster speaker switch box. So what I'm going to be doing is putting this Marantz in place for the replacing the very old stereo equipment that's there. It's amazing how many clients I have that are wanting to do this. So now I got all this sound, and then at the same time, I'm looking for better sound for my TV in my bedroom. I don't want to put a whole surround sound. I want to put more of a simulated surround, which is perfect for a sound bar. I also have to have a sound bar for the conference room for one of my clients, where instead of the projector, we've put a 65-inch Samsung LCD TV with a computer that was custom built, that's very, very small, that is stuck on literally behind the TV, and we have HDMI going right into the TV, Ethernet coming from behind the wall into the little computer. This little computer I can hold in the palm of my hand, and it's a Core i5, 128 gig SSD, which is plenty of space for what we're going to be running on it. Had 8 gigs of RAM. Just a nice little computer that's perfect for the conference room. We have the Logitech Bluetooth keyboard and trackpad for the conference room table. So everything is perfect except sound. So we put a sound bar, and let me tell you the process and what we selected. The sound bar for the conference room does not need to be overly impressive. It just needs to have just enough loudness that everybody can hear if there's any kind of training or something going on the screen. So the Samsung soundbar, very inexpensive, work great. And that's nice. Not a problem. For me, for what I wanted, it did not have Bluetooth. And that was a requirement for me. So if you're looking for these different soundbars, I would think the best sounding one would be the Bose. And when I was at a Best Buy sampling these soundbars, clearly the Bose was great. But there's a problem sometimes with Bose products. They didn't have Bluetooth. And another problem, like if you look at the Wave radio, which is probably the best sounding radio you could ever have, they don't have high def radio channels. They can't receive any high def channels in the area. So why? Bose has great sound, but they're limiting on some of the technology, and some of the features that you may want. So this drove me to the Polk Audio Magnify soundbar. It's wireless to the subwoofer, but they give you the option and a cable. If it's not that far away, why go wireless and have something interfere? So I actually have a cable going down to the subwoofer, but it has Bluetooth. And one of the things I want to be able to do is lay across the room in the bed and be able to bring up my XM radio app on my iPhone, or for that matter, anything. And I want to Bluetooth pair it to that speaker in the front so it sounds great. If you want great sounding audio for music or movies, and you also want Bluetooth, then consider the Polk. Very, very nice. And you can get good deals. I noticed on Amazon, it's right now listed for $481, but you can get that between $350 and $370 when they have different deals and sales. So you can literally get $100 off on that. And I know Best Buy runs specials on the Polk, and you can get that $100 off. I purchased it. I got it on it was on sale. But it seemed to be the best bang for the buck, right in the middle of the price range for like some of the low ends just are just so cheap. The Samsung doesn't sound as good as the Polk, but again, a couple $100 cheaper. So you're going to get what you pay for, but make sure you're looking for the right features that you want. Wanted to mention all this sound stuff I'm being thrust into, where I'm coming up with receivers that I got to recommend and sound bars. And it's just part of the technology and the job that I'm thrust into for clients. Let's get to email. Lots of great emails here. The first one, and I'm going to remove this link from last week's show notes for FreeMake. I've gotten a few emails about this program. This is from Brian. On your last show, someone emailed in about FreeMake software downloading YouTube videos as MP3s. I have found it does work very well, but when you download the FreeMake software, it tries to download a lot of add-ons at the same time, or it did when I downloaded it. In fact, one of the computer mags in the UK used to recommend it, now won't because of all the extras it tries to put on your computer. Good program, but be careful when downloading. Great show, Brian. Brian, thank you for that warning. This leads right into Kate, who sent me feedback. A few comments regarding show 551. First, the audio was clearer, but I'm not sure louder. I listen on an iPod Nano with the Apple earbuds. I happened to listen to show 551 while I was making dinner, and the next thing in the queue was Podnuts Daily. There was a large difference in volume. I had to turn Podnuts down after adjusting the volume for you. So nice job on the cleanup, but still not as much volume as most everything else. You're on the right track, though. Thanks for the feedback, Kate. Next, someone mentioned the FreeMake YouTube to MP3 converter. The last time I looked, admittedly a couple years ago, that installer included OpenCandy is adware, and it is a real bear to remove. And she has the article for the OpenCandy Wikipedia article. Malwarebytes may or may not detect it, depending on how it's implemented in any given installer. But whether detected or not, it does not remove all of it. I usually need Rogue Killer and or Adware Cleaner to get most of it, and then brute force it out of there manually. Instead, I use convert2mp3.net, which is malware, adware, and hassle-free as of this writing. Anything can happen, but right now, it's still good. For something a little more sophisticated, there's Adapter, which is free. And this is macroplant.com/adapter. It's free, clean, and there's a Mac version too, if necessary. I use this to convert a big whack of .wma files to MP3 for a Mac user once. Hope this helps, Mike. Thanks so much for all that you do. Kate, thank you so much for the feedback. I'm going to add DB Power Amp as another great converter that I use every week to go from WAV to MP3 for the podcast, but I also use it when I got to convert FLAC to MP3 or any audio format to any other format, and that's DB Power Amp. This is from Chris. Chris had the question last week where he was looking to put a camera in place in a house. He wanted to make sure he had remote access, and we were coming up with solutions because he was having some issues. I'm sorry I forgot to mention in my previous email, I can't get a static IP address. That was one of my things. I wanted him to get a static IP. I wish I could, because that's how I set them up in businesses. We have Cable One in my area. If you think Comcast is bad, Cable One is their double A team. I thought that was awesome. All right. They used to allow static IPs in residential locations for a $20 a month fee, but now they refuse to let anyone have one. Chris, thanks for the follow-up. If anybody has some ideas from the email that I read about the cameras in the house, listen to show 551 and help me. I haven't gotten any feedback yet on that particular problem. Help us out there if you get a chance. This is from Jason. Google Apps distribution list and public Wi-Fi. You can make groups in Google Apps control panel. For example, I have a group called Techs. The email is techs@mycomputername.com. And I added all the techs to this group. And now when I want to send them all an email, I send it to that email and everyone gets a copy. Easier than trying to share a list and easier to keep it updated. Also, you had a listener ask about public Wi-Fi. They need to check out openmesh.com. These are rock solid apps and they are controlled by a cloud controller, which is free. We have used these in three campgrounds, with one in over 5 acres with 26 access points and only about 8 of them with wired connections. And the other ones are mesh power only. Although in hotels, we think it's best to wire every access point. We have 2 hotels we are doing in the next 2 weeks, and this will bring our total to 6 hotels. One hotel will have 32 access points across 2 builds that we liked, with a fiber backbone to the front MDF. Just make sure to use a proper subnet to allow enough IP addresses if you do a large scale like a hotel or campground, and you will have problems at 254 IPs. Absolutely, I completely agree. These apps allow up to 4 SIDs with the latest firmware, which is automatically downloaded via control panel. Also, on each of the 4 SIDs, you can specify public or private. On the private side, you can see all the computers and such. On the public side, you can turn on isolation, and each person that connects is totally separated from every other person that connects. This is the correct way to public Wi-Fi. This way, if someone gets a virus or has shares on their computer, they are protected. Also, you can have the splash screen to agree to terms or have voucher numbers to connect. That's pretty cool. And the best part, you can throttle the users so they can't kill everyone else's connection. The cloud controller gives you a ton of insight, lets you know if the apps are up or down, and shows you the speeds. You can reboot the apps, and I'm calling them apps, APs, access points. So forgive me. The APs and tons of other features, all from the cloud control panel or the app for your phone. Manage all your deployments from one control panel. We currently have over 30 deployments. The biggest thing in doing these deployments is making sure you have a good router. We prefer SonicWall so we can filter bad stuff, including the app control, to keep things like torrents and P2P from working on the network. Firewalls are sized by the number of connections that are being made to it. And a typical person uses 400 to 500 connections just browsing the web. If someone uses torrents, that can take one person from 500 to 3,000 connections just downloading one file. So as you can see, it wouldn't take long to kill a network. So the lesson here, don't use a home router. It's a business, use a business router. Home routers are only 5,000 to 8,000 connections for cheap routers. Some of the Sonic walls we use are 60,000 to 150,000 plus connections. Thanks, Jason. Jason, awesome. Thank you so much for your feedback. This is Keith. He says, hi, Mike, longtime listener, second time emailer. On show 551, you mentioned about the doctor's office that is 99% Macintosh and the issue of the users turning the wireless back on because they think they need it. I work in a large Mac environment, and I'm trying to swing the OS count back towards Windows with a VDI solution. Two things. In the network preferences, where you have the wired and wireless connections, make sure the wired connection is first. With both networks connected, the order they appear will be the order that they used and their priority. If you drag the wired connection to the top, even if the wireless is connected, the wire should be where all the primary traffic goes first. The other thing, if you don't want the user to turn the wireless networks back on, you can make the wireless service inactive. That way, if a user goes to turn it on, the wireless is disabled. If they try to make the service active, they will need admin privileges, which might give them pause that they don't need to do this. One other thing I try to do is if the wireless is not to be used on a workstation, I uncheck the show Wi-Fi status in the menu bar item so they don't even see the grayed out umbrella in the Mac menu bar to get curious. That's a great idea. Thanks for the show and look forward to every episode. Keith also sent me a great snapshot. If you go into preferences and then network, click Wi-Fi, and then at the bottom with the little gear, open that up and there's an option, make service inactive. Go through that and disable it on the bar. I am absolutely doing that for all these Macs. Can't wait. I don't want them to be able to turn wireless on without going through some difficulty because I want them wired. I don't want them on the wireless network. Great tip. Let's move into talking about Windows 10 a little bit. And you got to hear this email. This is very interesting. I was looking forward to moving to Windows 10. However, I'm on a metered internet connection. And the Home User Edition will not allow me to manage my updates. Unless Microsoft relents on this, my next operating system's logo will probably be a penguin. I have four computers that I need to manage in our family, and we only get 5 daytime gigabits and 10 nighttime gigabits of data to use. This is satellite internet, And the next higher package is very expensive. The good thing is that there is really very little that Microsoft is doing for me that I desperately need. I like my Windows machines, but I like being able to manage my resources more. This is from Nancy. Nancy, great feedback here. When you think about, I mean, I'm spoiled. I have Fios, so I have incredible up and download connections. I don't have to worry about anything metered. And if I'm going to have a dozen systems here, all update to Windows 10, go for it. I have no problem. I have a sister that has recently moved to Montana. And when she came back, as a matter of fact, she attended the Foo Fighters concert with me, not last Monday, the Monday before. We were talking about internet access out there, and they have satellite, and it's very, very limited. They barely can connect to the internet at all. And I'm thinking, all of these massive updates, and we're trying to live in a streamed environment. Netflix and Spotify and Pandora and live on iCloud Drive and OneDrive and Google Drive and SugarSync and all of these things that are all in the cloud. But how about all of these people that cannot live in the cloud because they're limited on the bandwidth and their options because of their location and the options available? This is a problem, and we got to have options available for them. So if we remove all the optical drives from all the computers, and if you don't have a good broadband connection, how are you possibly going to do your updates? You're going to need that media to still be able to do it, or at least have it on a USB stick. So this brings up a good point. How's Microsoft going to do this as an upgrade? Is there still going to be media that's going to be available that someone can get at a reasonable price because of the free upgrade, but they shouldn't have to pay the full price for the operating system? Great question. And Nancy, I don't know what the answer is going to be on how you can get those updates. There's got to be a way maybe where you can go somewheres where you have the bandwidth that I don't know if WSUS offline or some of the update processes that we've talked about, that you'd be able to put them, go somewheres where you have the broadband connection, a friend's place or somewhere, have that updated on an external drive and then bring that to your house and do that all locally for your systems. You might want to look into that as an option rather than go to the Penguin. This is Jason. Windows 10 question. I reserved Windows 10 for both my laptop and PC. My PC is one that I built on a limited budget a little over a year ago. I say budget because I did not include an SSD in the build, as they were still hovering around $200 for a decent sized drive. The prices are much better now, and I want to add an SSD to my system soon. My question is, what is the most efficient way to do this with 10 looming? I've done a lot of upgrades using Acronis True Image 2015 Unlimited with no issue for activation. Obviously, I want the SSD to be my boot drive, with the mechanical drive being my second drive. Do I upgrade Win 8.1 to 10 on the old drive first and then reinstall 10 again onto the SSD? If so, will there be any authenticating issues? I want to wipe the old drive as well and start over clean with both devices. Now that, I'm not sure how you're going to be able to do that. That's still up in the air. How do you do a clean install when they're pushing it as a Windows update? And I would like to do the same thing from scratch. Forgive my rambling, but I have a few ideas and I want to know for future reference if it'll work. And what I am thinking is cloning but the two drives are going to be different sizes. And I am not getting an SSD with the amount of space to clone the other drive. Would I be better off doing this? One, upgrade Windows 8 to Windows 10 on the old drive. Wipe the old drive so only Windows 10 exists. Cloning drive to the SSD with Windows 10. Will it still authenticate? I would clone first, then do the update and let it update, and then you're where you want to be. And I would use Acronis. And if you go back to a few shows, there was a lot of other great solutions for cloning disks. I just happen to use Acronis because it works. And I created a bootable USB, and I also created a bootable CD, and I've used them both, and it's beautiful, and it works like a champ. That's my recommendation. And I would clone it first, then do the upgrade. I'm not sure. You're asking great questions, and Windows 10 is sort of new territory for us. I'm assuming that just because you put it on another drive, you're going to authenticate with no trouble because the hardware is the same. The processor is the same. The motherboard's the same. So you shouldn't have any issue. And if you did, you call Microsoft and you explain that that's your cloning and why it won't verify. And hopefully they'd be able to work it out for you and give you the right key to activate. Will this work? Is there a better, more efficient way? If cloning is the way, what free cloning software do you suggest? Acronis has a 30-day trial. Would that have the functionality, in a trial version to do this? I'm not sure. It's a good question. You're going to have to check that. I hope I made this clear enough. Oh, absolutely, you did. It's difficult to write out what I want to do. Thanks, Mike, and love the show. I am not a tech yet. I am currently on the path to becoming a career in the industry, and your show is incredibly helpful in gaining real-life teachings about IT. I appreciate the effort that you put in on this. And this is Jason. Jason, great questions, and I understand what you want to do. There are some free cloning software out there. I forget the name. Go back a few shows. Search the word cloning on my website at miketechshow.com, and you're going to find the free cloning software that was recommended. There's a couple listeners that love a couple options. I know there is free cloning software out there. Give that a try. Do it before Windows 10 comes out. And even if it does, even if you clone it after, I don't think you're going to have any problem with activation. If everything remains the same, where I've cloned Windows 7, I've never had an issue. Let's see. Well, I take that back. I had one issue, but it was an Intel driver issue that was really the problem. Here's a good question from Jerry. Thanks for taking the time to do your podcast. I have learned a lot from them. I was listening to one, and you were talking about your process of cleaning up a computer. The order that you run malware bytes, TDK, etc. Can you give me the show number or send me a list of your normal process? I know it can change depending on the computer, but that will give me a list to start with. You know, I've mentioned this so many times, and I'm just going to do it one more time because it's so quick, so easy. If I know the system's infected and it's Windows 7, I run CombiFix first. If it's Windows 8, I skip that because CombiFix can only run on Windows 7. I then run JRT, then Adware Cleaner, then I run CCleaner, and I clean up all of the cache and the temp files from all the browsers in CCleaner. Then I run the registry cleaner, and I run it until there's nothing left that there's a problem. Then I run Malwarebytes. Then I run Super Anti Spyware. And in between any of those times, you can run TDSS Killer, because that runs so fast. And then when all that's done, I test. I open up the browsers and I make sure everything's working. If the browsers are running perfectly, then I'm good. If sometimes there's problems where a browser I've seen so infected that I had to remove it, and the only way to remove it, and it was Chrome, it was to use Revo Uninstaller, and I always get the portable version, and I had to rip out Chrome and then re-download it from scratch and load it clean. I've only had to do that a couple times, but I wanted to put that out there. Make sure you test when you're all done here. Make sure your browsers are coming up within 2 seconds. It should load the homepage. This is from Bradford. Love the show. Listen to every episode. This is a multi-tenant network question. This could be a pretty big topic, but looking for your take on at least an overview. I have been supporting medium and small businesses for a while, but this is a first. I have been hired by an office building owner as the staff IT department. The internet options in this area are very limited, so he had fiber run to the building. I just completed the massive project of wiring the building network. New renovations, so all new Cat 6, going from many wall plates to the offices to a central closet with patch panels. The next phase will be sharing the fiber to each suite. There's a lot of considerations, but basically, we want to be able to allocate bandwidth per tenant so no one can flood the network, and also consider the fact that smaller units will probably pay less than bigger ones. We need to separate the individual networks, of course. A little tricky part is that there is a Konica multifunction printer available to everyone with user accounts, and it would be nice if they could access it on their network. You're right, that is the tough one. The two ways I'm thinking are go with one big network and use VLANs to segregate everyone and allow them all to access that shared printer, or get a nice big switch that can handle the distribution from the ISP equipment, but put business class Netgear routers in place for each unit. Two good options. The VLANs gives you a great opportunity to be able to throttle the bandwidth too for those ports. Get a very robust HP ProCurve switch that does layer 3, has all the VLAN capability, and the ability to cap a port, which is going to a suite. You've basically outlined your two options, really. Put a good sonic wall firewall in place. You might want to even consider an untangle box in its place for the whole network. I would then recommend your tenants to get their own firewalls as you deliver an IP. Winston Wolf just recommended a WatchGuard firewall for this kind of setup. Excellent idea for WatchGuard. There are about 10 units, and we're going 1,000 meg connection over the fiber. One more note is that we'll then be able to provide VoIP services and basically drop the need to support the very old and copper lines that comes in currently. Wow, long email, but any tips, considerations, and equipment selections that had success with in the past are appreciated. Absolutely. Winston follows up, you can rate limit with WatchGuard per IP on the WatchGuard, and it's very easy. WatchGuard firewall, HP ProCurve for all of your VLANing, and I think that's the way to go. You want the most robust switch that you can deploy to make your life easy and future-proof anything that's going to be coming down for curveballs that these suites are going to throw on you for IT needs. I think you're set. That's it. I think you've actually nailed the answer in your question. Make sure put the money into a good switch. Last email from Steve. This is cool. Here's a tool to extract the OEM Windows 7, 8, 8.1 or 10 key from the Dell and perhaps other BIOS. This is needed if you reinstall without the Dell media. These laptops don't come with key stickers anymore. The website is neosmart.net/OEM key. Check that out. Great utility for reading your Windows key from the BIOS. Thank you, Steve. I know it's a long show. We're going to go a little longer. I have some music for tonight. The group, my son Ryan asked me to play this song tonight. The group is Ex-Ambassadors, and they have a hit song that's out on their new CD that was released called VHS, and the song is Renegades, and you might recognize it from the commercials that you may hear with the Jeep commercials with the song in the background, Renegades. Give a listen, and I will be back to wrap up after this. Renegades by Ex-Ambassadors, and I'll have a link where you can purchase their new CD VHS from Amazon. And remember to use my Amazon link for all your purchases or anyone you know that purchases from Amazon. It's amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a portion, a commission, comes back to support the Mike Tech Show. Thank you so much for downloading and staying subscribed, for supporting Instant House Call, instanthousecall.com. Don't forget to use my promo code, Mike Tech Show. And this weekend, I will absolutely be using Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro to move all the data from that dead system, from that drive, to move it to the new computer. It's going to make my life easy on Sunday. Love that. Love, love, love that program. That's it. We're going to be off next week. No show next week. I will see you on the 30th, I believe, on July 30th, the next show. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.